All right, amen. Thank you, ladies, for those tremendous specials. The power of the cross and Christ the Lord is risen today. And amen for those truths. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. All right. So I want to go ahead and have you take your Bibles and we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. All right. And again, to all of you visitors, thank you for coming, getting around and having everybody introduced. I think I forgot Stefan, didn't I? Okay. He's probably just so disappointed that I forgot him. So David and Steve Black, their son's here, and that's Stefan right there. So Stefan, all right. And so good to have you here as well. And he was probably thinking in his mind, I'm never coming back here again. They forgot me. We save the best for last, right? All right, so good to have you. Good to have every one of you here that are visiting, and not just our visitors, but it's so good to just be around the brethren. Amen. You know, when we went back in all of, the last 2 weeks of March and then all of April, we weren't visiting because of COVID and all of that. And then there was a week in October that we took a week off when we had some people that were sick. And I was sick also in October. I think it's just made everybody more grateful for the opportunity to be together. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to have fellowship. And so, again, good to see everybody here. We're going to take a look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're looking at what is called the resurrection chapter. And that's what we're celebrating today. It's Resurrection Sunday. And praise the Lord for that. And the Apostle Paul brings out to the believers here at Corinth the fact that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And that is what the gospel is. Well, let's take a look at these first couple verses here. We'll read verses 1 through 4. We'll see it in verses 3 and 4. So it says this in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. What a wonderful morning it is. Anytime that we meet, it's just a blessed day. And so we thank you for that. But today is truly very, very special as we commemorate and celebrate the resurrection of our dear Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for those of us, and I hope that that speaks to this whole room. We're so grateful, Lord, that you have saved us and that we've come to know Christ as our personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on that cross for us. Thank you for your precious blood that was shed on our behalf. And Lord, we do pray that today as we celebrate this, Lord, that we wouldn't just be really thinking about this or making an emphasis about it just today, that you're risen again, but we pray that we would think about that all throughout the whole year. And Lord, may we take this message to other people and tell them about what Christ has done for us. And we do pray for anybody that may be here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's where every one of us that do know you, that do know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where we once were. I remember back in the day when I was lost and I didn't know Christ. I believed in the things of God, but I didn't know you. And I thank you that you brought some people into my life that encouraged me with the gospel, that invited me to church. And so we pray for anybody that may be here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would reveal these truths to them, that they would see that you love them, that you died on a cross for their sins, and that you want to forgive them and give them everlasting life. So we pray in all that's done now that Christ Jesus would be lifted up and glorified. Again, I pray that you'd put me to the side. I would ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd be able to do your work in each and every heart here today. And we thank you once again and pray all this in your wonderful name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is making a strong declaration about the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, which is the gospel. And this is what he said. This is what I preached unto you. This was first and foremost. This is how you came to know your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he goes on, and we see as we go a little further, and I'm just going to jump to verse 12. We're still going to be in 1 Corinthians 15. And he says that there are some. He says, yet, even with all of that, there are some that are among you that are teaching that there is no resurrection from the dead. So that's what he says here in verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? It's been very, very clearly preached that this is a fact, that Christ rose again. He says, how is it that some of you are preaching and teaching, or going around teaching that there is no resurrection? And you know, it's kind of true in everything in life. I mean, there's always going to be opposition, and there's going to be those who rise up and they're going to just definitively declare that, oh no, he didn't rise again from the grave. And some people are like that, and I've talked to people like that all the time, all through the years. People at the doors that you go knock on and you try to tell them about Christ. Oh, Christ didn't rise again. Well, and you know this? How do you know this? And some people can just say some things that are just flat out ridiculous, that they never happened. I mean, we have a society right now and a generation right now that wants to just erase all of our history in this country, and they want to just almost say that it just didn't exist. There are people that want to say, yeah, the Holocaust, it never happened. It just didn't happen. And some people can say it so boldly and so confidently, just like Hitler did, right? Hitler just lied and lied, but he said it so confidently that people followed him. And folks, we got to be careful that we don't take something that has no basis and we just begin to just say these things as a matter of fact. You know, it's just good for us sometimes. Now, yes, when we stand upon what the Word of God says, we can say with all full assurity, these things are so, because thus saith the Lord. Amen. And so when we look and when we look to the Lord and what He has given to us from His Word, yes, we can stand upon that. But when it comes to some of our opinions, you know, it's probably good to just say, you know, I don't know all things. I think that's probably a good way to preface a lot of things. I don't know everything, but I kind of think that this is, you know, this might not be true. But some people just like to just come straight out and say, you know, hey, listen, this is a flat earth that we live on. It's flat. Don't you know that? It's not round. It's flat. Oh, anyway, I'm not going to go down that road. Okay. But we see a lot of people are like that today. And that's what Paul was dealing with. There are some among you that say, hey, there's no resurrection from the dead. And you say it so affirmatively that you've got some people starting to believe you. So for the next seven verses, he says to them, I like the way he does this. It's kind of in a hypothetical format, a little hypothetical situation as he lays this out. And he says, all right, for the next verse, the next seven verses, if you're right, then verses 13 through 19 would be true. And these verses say this. It says this in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. That means empty. There's nothing to it. There's no substance to it. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. That's what we're saying. And whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. All those who've already died and they were trusting in Christ, then they've just perished. They didn't go really anywhere. In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. All these things would be true and he's speaking to those who say that there's no resurrection from the dead. He says, okay, if you're right, all these things are true. Again, what is that list that we just read through? Well, if what you're saying is true, Christ then is not risen up. As he says in verse 13, Christ then really didn't rise then, if you're right. And then in verse 14, he says, and also to that list, if you're right, then our preaching is vain. We're just a bunch of, clanging cymbals. We're just making a whole lot of noise. If what you're saying is true, then our preaching is just hollow. There's no substance to it. It's just empty. And then he says also, verse 14, and if what you're saying is true, then your faith is vain. Your faith is just empty. You're just trying to be how this wishful thinking, oh, we're going to go to heaven. Well, if it's true that Christ didn't rise, then your faith is vain. And our faith is vain here this morning if Christ didn't rise again. And then he says also, let's add to that list in verse 15, then we are false witnesses because we're preaching that Jesus did rise again. And so that makes us false witnesses. And then on your sins. Because if Christ didn't rise again, you still have your sins on you. They weren't taken care of by Christ if he's still in that grave. And then in verse 19, when you wrap all of that up, he says in verse 19, well, yeah, in this life we have Christ, but really that's all we have in this life. We're just here every week on Sunday, and some of us come back on Wednesday, and we'll come back Sunday night, and we're just cheering each other on, but it's really all for nothing, because when we get to the end of life, we're just going to die and get buried into the ground. And that's all. Then he says, we are of all men most miserable. Miserable. Do I look miserable? Yeah. I would be that way if I didn't have this hope in Christ. What am I doing in here? Why would I be doing this? Let's just go eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. Right? That's where those philosophies come from, because those who initiated those little cliches and lived by those philosophies, they didn't have a Savior that they trusted in. They didn't know what would happen beyond the grave. And so Paul lays that out, and then he quickly silences this foolish notion as he continues to write the following words. Of course, the Lord leading him to write these words. In verse 20, after he lays out all of these things would be true if Christ didn't rise, I love what he says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Boy, you could see these are like bold letters written. I mean, I know that they're in the same type set as all the other words, but they might as well be big, huge, all capitals and all bold, because that's what he's saying here. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He has risen. He is a risen Savior. He is the first fruits of those that have died. Like that hymn says, Christ the Lord is risen today. Sons of men and angels say, raise your joys and triumphs high. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Alleluia. Listen, Christ the Lord is risen. And we know that. We know that. I knew that the day I got saved 44 years and I don't know how many months back, just a couple more months back in January, back in 1977, I knew that. And I didn't really know a whole lot. I didn't know what that Bible taught. I thought there were things in that Bible that were not in the Bible because I never opened it. But after I got saved and I went home from the church where I got saved and trusted Christ, I went home and I just knew something had changed. It's like the blind man said, whereas I was blind, but now I see. And that's where I was. I went home and a weight had been lifted. And I knew that God had forgiven me. And I knew that I became a child of God. And I knew that Jesus Christ was my Savior. I didn't know a whole lot beyond that. But the Bible tells us that God, that he speaks to our spirit. In fact, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's a great thing, because God so many times has just kind of brought me close to him and just comforted me and just said, you're my child, son. I love you. I died for you, and you put your faith and trust in me, and you're mine. And God has had to do that through these many, many years at different times. And it's just so good as I look into his word and read his word that the Spirit of God is there and he speaks to me. And what a wonderful thing that I know I belong to Him. And He so often and so many times comforts us and gives us strength. In verses 21 and 22, it says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So we see that it was the first Adam. Now the Bible calls, you know, the Lord Jesus has many different names and descriptions throughout the Word of God. And one of them is he's called the second Adam. All right. The first Adam, we read about Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis. And we read some other things about Adam and how long he lived and all of that. That was the first Adam. So we see that it was the first Adam that death, it was through him. Of course, Eve was the one that was tempted, but Adam, you know, it's on him that God always places him as the one that fell because, you know, he's supposed to be over his wife, watching out over her. So it says that that first Adam, because of his sin, that we all fell and the curse came upon us. And Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says this, "For wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Bible says that sin was passed on from generation to generation because of that first Adam. Boy, we're probably going to let him have a word or two, right, when we get to heaven. I have a feeling that if we had been in Adam's place, we'd have done the same thing. So I don't think there'll be any finger pointing. I'm glad that Adam got his heart right with God. But we see that there was another man, another Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see it that by him came a resurrection, life from the dead, eternal life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. In fact, let's turn to Romans chapter 5 and we'll see these verses. I'll read that first verse that I read to you in regard to the first Adam. I just read it to you, but I'll read it again here now that we have our Bibles turned to this page. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And then we see in verse 19, For as by one man's disobedience," again, that's the first Adam, "many were made sinners." We all came into this life as sinners. "And many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one," and that's who? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. "For so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." The Lord Jesus Christ, He gives life. He is life. "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I heard about a young pastor who was asked to preach a funeral, and so he began to look through the Gospels because he's never preached a funeral service, and he wanted to look through the Gospels to find how Jesus preached at a memorial service, and he couldn't find one because anytime the Lord was around somebody at a memorial service or a funeral, He raised them up. That's usually what He did. Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, He says in John chapter 11. Now, who is this life for? Who is this life for? The Bible says it's for anyone who will simply believe what God has to offer them. God makes that offer to every one of us. Let's all say John 3:16 together. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Isn't that a great verse? You remember way back in the day, I was talking to a couple of the men recently about, maybe it was back in the 70s, and this probably would have been even before I got saved. I remember watching a lot of sporting events, and there'd be a character back behind the goalpost up in the crowd, and somebody's ready to kick a field goal, and this guy would put up a sign. You remember what that sign said? John 3:16. And I'd look at that and go, it's a Bible verse, okay, you know, and that's about all that it probably meant to me until after I got saved. And I went, praise the Lord for that guy, because people just weren't doing that back in the day. And he'd show up all kinds of sporting events, and he'd have Bible verses, and mostly it was John 3:16. But what a wonderful verse, folks, that God sent his son to die for us, that we could have everlasting life. The Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am the chief of sinners. Well, we're all pretty high up there. When you think about our sin would have sent us to hell if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't intervene. But he died for you and I. So first of all, we must understand that we are all under sin. In other words, we're all sinners. Every one of us, we've all sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's no one person who is righteous. Yesterday I was talking to a young fella and asked him about if he died, where would he go? And this was like so many others who've responded the same way. In fact, it's the way I responded when I was a young man. I told him that's exactly what I thought. And that response was, well, I think I'm going to get to heaven. I try to treat people kindly. I try to do my best. That's how I was raised. And I just try to do good things. And I said, well, you know, humanly speaking, that sounds like the right response, doesn't it? I mean, in my way of thinking back then in the day, I thought God had those scales, so those scales would be there, and that the good and the bad, and hopefully the good would outweigh the bad, and so God would say, you can come in. The good has outweighed the bad. That's how my mind went. And I told him, but listen, that's just not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're all sinners, and God is a holy and righteous God, and he cannot allow sin into heaven. But he made a way, didn't he? And the Bible tells us, yes, that we're all sinners. In fact, down in verse 23 of that same passage in Romans, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned. And it's pretty hard for somebody to, when you ask them, have you ever sinned? Have you ever committed sin in your life? I've had some people respond and say, no, I never have. And I was like, you've been in a coma all your life? Or how is that possible? And I don't know, some people are thinking maybe it's mass, you know, I'm not a serial murderer, so then I'm not, you know, I've not committed any sin. But every one of us, just in our rational mind, would respond, of course, yes, I've certainly sinned. I've done a lot of things. The Bible says that even the thought of foolishness is sin, by the way. But understand this, that yes, we're all sinners, and sin carries a price. There's a price that comes because of our sin. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. For those of us who work, every one of us has worked in some fashion. Some of us work regularly right now. And what do we expect? We expect payment for that. We expect some wages. Well, guess what the wages are for our lifestyle of sin, of the sins we commit? It's going to be death one day. Nobody's going to just keep living on and on. Not in this life, not in this body. It's deteriorating. And the price of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the last part of that verse in Romans chapter 6. But that's, again, and folks, we are all doomed to die. I've had the opportunity to officiate I don't know how many funerals or memorial services. It's quite an amount. And I see it firsthand, and I realize unless the Lord comes and takes us all up through the clouds, then one of these days, one will be done for me as well. And it's just good for us to realize that one is going to be done for you yourself. And I hope that you're ready to meet God. Prepare to meet thy God. That's what it says in the book of Amos. So we're all doomed to die, and without Christ, the Bible says there's a hell. There's a hell. There's a heaven, and there's a hell. And God made hell for the devil and his angels, but all for all those who will reject Jesus Christ. Because he wants to save you. But that's where we see here. We see that we're sinners. We see that the price of our sin is death. But that's where someone took our place. There was someone who was willing to pay the ransom. Somebody who was willing to live a perfect life on our behalf. So that that person was willing to die in our place. And who was that? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for you and he died for me. He died for every person who's ever lived. And folks, he wants us and he invites us to trust him. So what does that mean? It means that God knew that we were all in a fix, weren't we? We were all in a precarious situation. We were all in a hopeless situation. There was no way for us to get out of it. Has anyone ever helped you out of a jam? Probably you think back in time and how many times did our parents come to our rescue. And I think of my oldest daughter, I had to come to her rescue. How many times in the winter? Dad, I slid off the road and I'm stuck in an embankment, you know, and I had to go and help her out numerous times. She was probably the least skillful of all of our kids when it came to driving. So the Lord put her in Southern California and kept her there to help her driving skills. And they've come along. I think they've come along quite well, but she was always in a jam. But we've been in a jam. How many times is a mom, dad, can you come? Or we called a friend, I'm stuck. Or maybe we've been trapped somewhere. I would hate to be trapped in a dark place in a small confined dark. I would go crazy, okay? I would just go crazy. Fortunately, that's never happened. But listen, we've all been in a bind. And listen, God saw all of mankind. We were in a bind. And there was nothing that we could do. And God wanted us to call out unto him. So what did God do? God made a way, didn't he? He made a way. Jesus came to take our punishment upon himself. Amen. The just for the unjust. The just one who never committed one sin would give his life for us unjust ones. Praise the Lord that he did that. Now, if you're here today and you're willing to believe that Jesus came and died in your place, then let me just say this. You're on a good path. You're on a good path. If you'll just come to Christ as a sinner and do as Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say, then he will receive you and give you everlasting life. Those verses in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, you know, a young man got saved yesterday, and, well, it was just a few weeks before that I talked to a young man, and Ezra and I did, and we asked him, we said, Matt, you know, God wants to save you. Jesus died on the cross for you. This was a few weeks back, and we said, Matt, do you know you're a sinner? Yeah, I know I'm a sinner. And do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And he said, I struggle with that. I don't know that I believe that. Well, the Bible says you must believe that. The Bible says you must believe that Jesus died for you. And not only that, but that he rose again from the grave. Now, I'm just grateful that, you know, I pushed the Lord off for a time. But when it came to just believing those things, I'm just glad. Yes, I believe he did. I believe he died on the cross. I know what Easter stands for. And yes, I believe that Christ died on the cross. If you're here today and you believe that and know full well that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ paid for those sins and that he died in your place, that if you're willing to believe that he died for you and that he rose again from the grave, which is what we're celebrating today on this Resurrection Sunday, then the Bible says that God is offering to you eternal life. He wants to save you and forgive you of your sins. That's why just a few verses past that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says it's a gift of God. It's a gift from, and God is giving it to us. We don't have to work for it. But boy, he paid a price, didn't he? He paid the price for us. It is a free gift of salvation. If you'll call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, he surely will. He did that for every one of us. He is a living Savior. That's exactly what Paul told the Corinthians. He is risen again. that he wants to give you eternal life. So maybe I'm speaking to somebody here who's never trusted Christ as your Savior. Now, I grew up believing God, and I believed the things about Christ, but I didn't know him until I was 19. And that's when I accepted that payment that he made for me. That's when I invited him to come into my life. And let me just say this to us that do know him. Let us never forget what he has done for us. Let's just never forget that. You know, in Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 through 3, I'll just read those verses. In fact, if you turn there, we'll just go ahead and read those verses of what Christ did for us and how we're to hold on to those things. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. You understand the wording here. Get a good hold on the things that are so true and the things that have made such a significant difference in our lives, and hold on to those things and daily think about them and talk to the Lord with them, or else they begin to slip away. They begin to get routine. And then in verse 2, he says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and sure, is what he's saying, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And that can be spoken to us as believers, that this great salvation that we have in Christ, let's not let it slip away where we don't give it much thought. Let's always be grateful for what Christ has done for us. So if you're here today, boy, just embrace that. Myself, just embrace that every day. But again, as we're ready to close, and I'll have the piano player and Brother Ray, Vicky and Ray, come on up, and they'll begin to play, and we'll sing in just a moment. And I'm going to ask you to bow your heads at this point, but I just say this again to maybe somebody who's here without Christ. You don't know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. Well, I hope that it was clear today. I certainly want to be clear in how I convey a message that Jesus Christ died for you, that he loves you, that if you would have been the only person who'd ever lived in this life, he would have died for you, and he would have died for me. I know that because he loves us, and he wants to save you and give you everlasting life, but he won't strong arm you. He wants you to make that decision. I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and showing you how much God loves you. And if you're here today without Christ, then I hope as we begin to sing this invitation that you'll step out into the aisle and come up here to the front where the altar's at. We'll have somebody here that will show you how to be saved from the Bible, just like somebody showed me 44 years ago, and I trusted Christ. And it made all the difference in my life to know Christ as my Savior now. And so I want to make that invitation to you and make that appeal to you, that you would make that decision to trust Jesus Christ today. If you know Christ as your Savior, maybe God's spoken to your heart about maybe taking it too routinely, maybe just getting into a rut. We can all get into a rut. But may we just embrace what Christ has done for us, that we have a risen Savior we're going to be in heaven one day with, and may we just rejoice with that on a daily basis. And so if God's spoken to your heart in some form or fashion, I hope that you'll respond to that. Maybe come here to the altar and talk to him, or pray there at your seat. But I hope that we'll do the things that God has impressed upon our hearts to do today. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your goodness. Thank you again that we can celebrate this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you that you're a risen, living Savior that we can talk to. We know that you have saved us and that you're alive and you live in our hearts. It's a wonderful thing. And you've given us a word that is a living word. And Lord, we just thank you for what we have. Help us to rejoice in it. Lord, help us to show that to people around us that don't know Christ, that they would see something different in our lives. Because we have the living Savior who lives within us. We have the Spirit of God living within us. Thank you for that. And I pray for somebody that may be here today that doesn't know that. Well, we want them to have what one day that you gave to us, We would love to see them come to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we pray you'll work upon hearts. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.